Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris, host of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. And in this episode of the podcast, my co-host Steve Mitchell kicks off a brand new series called Rising Stars, in which we interview members of the HMO Experience community who are absolutely crushing it right now. Now, in this first episode, Steve has a chat with Stefan Gacy about life after professional football, launching a wine business, and educating himself before starting his own HMO Experience with a rent-to-rent portfolio in Southwest London. Now, make sure you head over to the HMO Experience website at the end of this episode and download a number of free resources that we have, including the 11 steps on how to build a successful HMO property business. And also, don't forget to click the subscribe button and make sure that you rate and review the podcast and let us know how we're doing. Now that the intro is done, let's head over to the show. Hey everyone, welcome to this brand new edition of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. My name's Steve Mitchell and this is episode 44. So I have the immense pleasure of being joined by an amazing gentleman. I've known Stefan for probably must be coming up for a year now. And One thing I know about Stefan, he puts his heart and soul into everything that he does, and he's going to be sharing more about his story over the next 30 minutes or so. So everyone, this is Stefan. Stefan, say hi to everyone.
Hi guys, here in the flesh, on the voice.
Cool. Interesting fact number one about Stefan is that he is an ex-professional footballer. So do you just want to tell people, Stefan, a little bit about your sort of backstory? What did you do sort of growing up? You got into professional football, and then what happened?
So I got into professional football. I was playing for Southend United at the time. And then I got a freakish sort of ankle injury, which tore my ankle ligaments and broke the bone as well. So that put me out for quite a long time, over a year. Unfortunately, with timing, the club had just been promoted to the Championship from League One, so it was really great times. I missed out that whole season. The second season, we got relegated. So the budgets got cut, etc. Manager got the sack as well. So I hadn't been playing for such a long time after the injury. They weren't going to give me a new contract. So after that, I was training at Southend United, and an old friend of mine came to visit the training ground with a bunch of investments that they sometimes do on a Thursday afternoon. And we honestly didn't plan it. We hadn't seen each other in years. He came over with a company that were selling wine, actually, as an investment. So long story short, me and a few of the players put a little bit of money into it. We made a little bit of money after a couple of years. And when it came to me actually stopping professional football, this particular guy was ready to sort of start up his own sort of wine brokerage, asked me to sort of be part of it, as I had contacts within the football industry and he had the knowledge within the wine industry. So that's how sort of that started, in terms of the sales background stuff.
Cool. So could we then actually say that you are the reason why Southend United got relegated that season? Because you were playing?
I'd love to claim that, but definitely not.
Cool. So you grew up being wanting to be a professional footballer. Unfortunately, tragedy strikes. How are you feeling from a sort of a mindset perspective? Because obviously, I guess not being very sporty, as you can tell, my physique is not very sporty.
I've seen your press-up challenges, Steve. Come on.
God, don't talk about that. How did you sort of cope with that? Because life deals us ups and downs, right? How did you get over the disappointment of maybe not going through and fulfilling your footballing dreams?
A mixture of things. I think I was probably depressed for quite a little bit of time. It was more the uncertainty as to what's going to happen. I mean, at the time, like I said, everyone was riding high within the club. Everyone was really excited and going up to the Championship. I was there on crutches pretty much for 6 months of my life. sitting in the physio room, and how the physio room was, it had that big glass window, so you could always watch onto the pitch every day as all the players are training, and you're just there in the physio room on a spin bike, or you're there doing gym work every single day on the wobble boards, etc. So it can be mentally quite challenging. I found it easy at first, to be quite honest with you, because I had a good physio. We became really good friends. We saw each other day to day much. Obviously, my mother was down in London. I had moved up to South London at the time. So I didn't really have that many a lot of family around me at the time. But I did have a few friends within the football club that were always checking on me and trying to make sure that, I was all right. So I wasn't definitely left alone. I definitely had some good people around.
Good. And I think that's a lesson in life, is that you surround yourself with good people and they'll sort of help carry the burden. So then you got out of football and you got into wine investment. So that's kind of a little bit left field. I only know one other person that deals in wine investments, and he makes a good living from it. So did you find that some comfort in going into this sort of alternative investment area from your footballing days, and what sort of attracted you to that?
To be quite honest with you, it wasn't a passion of mine at all. It was more coincidence and timing, because a friend of mine I hadn't seen in such a long time, but we were really good friends. We were at school, funny enough. And like I said, when he came to the training ground and offered the sort of the wine as an alternative route to sort of diversify some of your sort of playing wages, which wasn't a lot at the time, to be honest with you, it kind of made sense. So when I wasn't able to sort of get a new contract and he was sort of giving me a call, so we kept in contact, it kind of just made sense, because I knew I was in the football industry, I knew quite a lot of the players, etc. But he had the knowledge as to sort of the wines and what chateaus to purchase, etc., etc. So it kind of made a lot of sense. So he had the roles of sort of getting the structure of the company right, etc. And my role was basically, speaking to potential clients, going to football clubs, speaking to them about wines, etc.
Cool. So is it that was more of a sales role? And were you sort of naturally adept at the sales role, or did that take a little bit of training and practicing to get that whole bit right?
I was hopeless at sales. Hopeless. Never done sales in my life. Actually, it took probably the best part of 4 or 5 months to get to grips with how to speak to people. And I'm quite an introvert naturally anyway. I'm not the loudest person in the room. So for me to just naturally go up to someone and speak to them about something they may probably not have heard of before, it was quite alien to me. So I had to, read up on a lot of stuff. I had a good friend, good friends who were in sales and sort of helping me with sales tactics and how to speak to people, how to close deals, et cetera, et cetera. And that definitely helped me. And to be honest with you, at that point in my life, I didn't really have anything else career-wise that I was looking at. So I kind of had to throw myself into it. It was all or nothing for me. So I had to learn. It was more sink or swim.
Yeah.
Hopefully I was able to learn about sales and go on from there.
And then where did property fit in? So you're a salesman with a share in the business in a wine investment company. How did you leap from wine to property?
That was totally left field. I mean, property was something that everyone, I'm sure most people speak about these days. When my parents got divorced, my mother lost the house, and she was always, talking about, it's always good to have property for security purposes, et cetera, et cetera. It didn't really occur to me at the time, because I had, a decent upbringing. I wasn't sort of the richest. My parents weren't the richest guys in the world, but I didn't realise we were poor, if that made sense. I never wanted for anything that I couldn't really get for my parents, if that makes sense. So with property, it was more friends that were involved in property. A good friend of mine brought it more to my attention. My name is Steve. Funny enough, not you, but another Steve.
Not me, no.
He brought it to my attention in terms of what he was doing. He was purchasing properties and refurbing them and going into HMOs with them. So he broke it down and explained it to me, which made perfect sense, and asked him sort of, where did you go to learn, get your knowledge? And he basically told me You know, he had some mentors that he used, he invested in them, which ultimately means investing in yourself, getting advice from professionals who have been there and done it before. So I chose to go down that route as well, to educate myself, read as many books as possible, speak to people, and go on courses and seek advice from, you know, professionals such as yourself who have been there, done it. And for me to go into something, I need to be confident. And the only way I can be confident is to have competence and know that, you know, I've got good advice from people that have been there and done it, rather than me making the same mistakes over and over again. So it will take years and years to get to a point of knowledge of any sort of standing in the industry.
Okay, so you started to educate yourself. You started to invest in yourself. How did you decide? Which route you were going to go down to in terms of who you're going to work with in terms of investment? Did you look at a number of different potentials, or did you kind of just follow what your mate Steve, not me, said that this might be a way for you? Did you sort of rely on advice and guidance, or did you go out and sort of check it out yourself, I guess is what I'm trying to really ask.
For me personally, I was looking at quite a few different sort of people. I mean, there's all these property courses online. There's probably a million property courses for every one person that wants to go into property these days. But it just comes down to my friend that I trusted, Steve. He gave me some good advice, and I honestly trusted him. So I sought to basically use the same mentors that he used and get the same sort of knowledge that he did. So it ultimately came down to recommendation from someone I trusted and respected.
Fair enough. And so you then went off onto your property training course, and you ended up looking at what, and how did you decide what sort of strategy that you wanted to pursue?
Well, I was looking at a few different strategies, one being buy, renovate, refinance, and another one was obviously the traditional buy to let. And also the HMO was something that was brought to my attention by my friend. I didn't know too much about it until obviously I started reading, etc. And for the same sort of principles of, to say, a house, a building, for example, where you can get a normal buy-to-let, but at the same time, if you were going to the HMO as a landlord, you can obviously increase your income by sort of 4, 5, 6 times compared to if you're doing a normal buy-to-let. Which is what sort of gravitated towards me. I'd love to say I had a passion for it, but it was more the financial sort of side of things, to get more bang for your buck ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely. So you started to look at HMOs or zero in on HMOs. And at the time, were you looking to buy HMOs, or were you looking at some other form of strategy like rent-to-rent? Did you even know what rent-to-rent was before you sort of entered into the education or the training world?
No, I'll be honest with you, I had no idea what rent-to-rent was. I was more going into with the buy-to-rent sort of HMO model. It was funny enough, when yourself and Jamie explained what sort of rent-to-rent was, it was like a light bulb above my head. I felt, oh, this kind of makes sense. I don't actually have to put all of this money into a deposit and stamp duty and this and that. So I can actually rent the property from a landlord, do some light refurbishments if need be, and then rent it back out and then get the profits from that. And I don't have to actually go through the whole process of owning it. That makes sense. So that was that big light bulb eureka moment for me. And I thought, okay, I'm onto something here.
And did you sort of come away, because I remember you on that first training course. Did you come away from that thinking, wow, I'm going to make a couple of telephone calls and I'm going to speak with some agents and they're going to like bow down before me and give me all the properties that I ever want and it's going to be a piece of cake?
To an extent, I did think, so I can just grab any property, I can rent it out, but I can rent out the rooms individually and I can make money that way. How easy is that? It sounds easy, right? Of course I can do this. I can do anything I want. It's only when you get into it and you realize, oh, it's not as easy as you thought it was at the beginning. But when you really, for me personally, I mean, everyone's different, but when you weigh it up, the good outweighed the bad in terms of the amount of work needed the amount of work required to get it to a stage where I would personally be happy with, was enough for me to say, you know, it's worth the risk. It's worth the hustle. It's worth the time and the money spent. It's still worth it. It's something I'm prepared to do.
Yeah. And then what I know the answer to this. So what then practically happened? I mean, you're in London, right? So it's a competitive marketplace, and there's a few people doing rent-to-rent and HMO management around you. So again, we just want to be honest with the viewers. Share with us some of the things that you did, and in particular the numbers, which for me is staggering. What did you actually do?
Right, so there's loads of things in it. So I did landlord leafleting, which is basically sending out a load of letters to licensed HMOs, just to try and get the landlord's attention to ask them, you know, well, I'm here, I'd like to propose an offer to your property, potentially, if I could rent it from you, and then rent it back out and give you guaranteed rent. So I was basically sending letters out every month, which was about 150 letters a month for about a whole year, to be honest with you, almost a whole year, every month, about 150 letters. That was one thing. Another one was going into every single, I set myself a goal to go to every single estate agent I knew I ever set eyes on in the local area. So I zoned in on my local area, which was Merton and Kingston. Merton, Kingston and Wandsworth. Right? So it's three boroughs that I thought I can work within these areas, not too far from where I live. So I went into every single estate agent I could find for literally, honestly, 6-7 months. With that, I didn't get any success for about the first 5 months. And I can tell you, I probably visited the best part of, I don't know, 150, 200 estate agents, I'm thinking off the top of my head. I've gone into every estate agent I could set my eyes on. I don't know why this is, but the one that actually made sense, well, that actually worked first of all, was I was in my car driving, and bear in mind, I didn't purposely go out to knock on a door of a landlord. I didn't purposely go out to meet an estate agent and ask them about, you know, the HMO. I was in traffic sitting there, and it was gridlocked up in Wimbledon. But when I looked to my left and I saw there's an estate agent right there, and I thought, you know what, I'm in traffic. What could be the worst speed? So literally it took me about 5 minutes to get out of where I was and park up, walked in there, and I said, yeah. Basically, long story short, I approached them and they said, yeah, of course, we have a few properties that you may be interested in. So I booked a few viewings. I didn't take any of those particular properties at that time because they didn't fit my kind of model at that particular time. But it was like a big thing for me that there is someone here, or there is a company who's willing to work with me. After being turned down and told no, and we don't do HMOs, and being told it's illegal, and every other sort of objection you can think of, and you're giving them this means you're giving them, you know, you're handing the rebuttals and stuff, but they're so fixated in their ways that it can be easy for you to sort of down tools and think, you know what, this isn't for me. But because I've come from a sort of sales background and telephone sales and things like that, I'm quite hard to kind of shake off. So I kept on going and going, and this particular company, I don't know if I can mention it, but this particular company, they took a liking to me, and we've had a good relationship since. They say they offer me all their best properties anyway. As soon as the one comes on the market, they give me a call even before it's advertised on their website or in their windows. So I've got a good relationship with them, as well as, like I said, the landlord leafleting. I didn't get any replies from that for 4, 5, 6 months, to be quite honest with you. And then all of a sudden, one comes through the post, and then two come through, and you're thinking, where have you been? London buses. Literally, it's not even a made-up story. That has literally happened.
Anyone who knows me knows I have a saying, is I don't actually believe in luck, but I do believe you can create luck, because luck is when opportunity and preparedness collide. So that is just a perfect example of where you were sitting in your car, an opportunity presented itself, you were prepared for that, and you took advantage, because that's one of the things that I see from all the people that we speak with, either on the podcast or from the training side, is that they think it's going to be easy. And some people get or create opportunity sooner than others. Some people never actually get in a position to create the opportunity because they might be prepared and they do all the education and the learning. And I mean, YouTube is the world's greatest learning resource as far as I'm concerned. You can probably get everything that you need off of YouTube. But what you don't get is going out and putting yourself in the way of the opportunity. And you, sir, are the hardest hustler and hardest grafter that I have ever known. But the real question is, was it worth it? So let me ask you, was it worth it?
110%. 110%. If I had to do it again, I would definitely do it again. For the simple reason that I've learned new skills in terms of in a new industry that I've never been in before. The feeling of, I wouldn't say success, but the feeling of achieving when you've had to go through so much rubbish and so much hardship makes it that much sweeter for me. And it just makes it a lot better for the next success because you're now prepared to take on the next challenge.
Mm, absolutely. So let's sort of fast forward now to today. And what has going down the rent-to-rent route given you? How has it impacted, if at all, on your life?
Well, it's definitely provided an extra income stream, definitely. I've got to meet a lot of people that I would never have met before. I wouldn't say I'm a shy person, but I'm quite sort of reserved. I tend to kind of not speak unless spoken to generally. But this has kind of forced me out of my shell a bit to do things like viewings, meeting people you've never met before, speaking to estate agents that you've never met before, speaking to landlords you've never met before, building rapport with them, things like that, that I probably wouldn't have done because it's not my comfort zone to go out and be doing. So that has definitely improved I wouldn't say my confidence, but definitely improved my awareness of people and how people think and also what you can achieve ultimately. I mean, if it was that easy, everyone would be doing it at the end of the day. But I do know that looking at people like yourself, like Jamie, and I've got a good friend called Steve as well, I've got a good relationship and I do respect and I look up to as well. The success that you guys have had obviously spurs me on for any little sort of knockback I have. It's work for duck's back. It doesn't mean anything. It's just on to the next one.
So
I know at the end of the day, there is success in it. So
yeah,
it has to be done regardless.
So let me ask you that about that then. So obviously, we get ups and we get downs. Has having someone to keep you accountable been valuable? Have you got anything out of that, or is it sort of surplus to requirement?
For me personally, I don't necessarily think I got the most out of that particular having someone to keep me accountable, because I generally tend to keep myself accountable as much as I can. I'm generally quite a self-motivated person. What I have found is being able to contact you, being able to reach out to people and say, look, I'm going through this at the moment. Is this correct? Or I've found this, someone's replied to me and they've offered me this particular, this is an offer I've received. How would I navigate these kind of waters? That has helped me a lot. Also, when I was going through sort of 4, 5, 6 months of absolute no interest, no one wanted to speak to me about anything to do with property, all this kind of stuff, you can question yourself. It's only natural you're thinking, am I doing the right thing? And to have someone there to tell you, look, you're doing the right thing, just keep consistent, keep going, it will come, just keep going, keep going, it helped me a lot. Because let's be honest, 6 months of day in, day out, if you keep getting rejected and keep getting the door shut in your face, how long are you going to really keep going if you don't know that this is what the guys who you would call successful went through as well?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. No, I remember going to the first or the biggest letting agent in our gold mine area and being politely told to sod off, and then going to the next one and being told to sod off. And there's only so many sod offs you can take before you sort of think, well, what am I actually doing? But then it's when you get to that point where you think, actually, it's not working. That's kind of when the magic happens. And I'm a little bit woo-woo and I kind of believe in the universe and all that. And I think what that is doing for me is the universe is sort of saying, well, I'm just going to sort of test you to see how much you really want this. Because when you really want something, the universe tends to provide in some way, shape or form. Others watching or listening to this podcast may have a different opinion, and all opinions are welcome, particularly in the comments below. I certainly believe that if you want something enough, then it will happen. So before we sort of wrap up, what does the future look like for you? I know you've just had an amazing addition to your family.
Yeah, we've got a second son called Kyson. He's now 7 weeks old, so he's doing very well. It hasn't been easy, obviously, with the lockdown and all that stuff, and homeschooling our first son. So juggling that with the property stuff and everything else we're doing, it hasn't been easy, but it looks like we're coming out of it now. So it's put me in a good position of understanding, put it that way.
Cool. And what does the future look like for you and your business? So, the COVID lockdown has kind of impacted everybody right now. But how are things looking for you? And what's your view on the rent-to-rent strategy going forward?
Well, the rent-to-rent strategy for me at the moment is doing well. It's holding up strong. I mean, I haven't really seen any negative influence from COVID in that respect. I mean, if anything, from a HMO perspective, I think it's one of those things that people, unfortunately, who may have lost their jobs or could be getting sort of job cuts or wage cuts and things like this, which we've all heard about, and we may know people who have gone through it. I think if they are struggling to afford, let's say, a house or a two-bed or one-bed flat, a HMO is something on the next level where is more affordable for them. So I do think that HMOs may actually be even more demand than they were before. So that's why I do think HMOs, whether it's rent to rent or the buy to let strategy, I think they are in good stead personally. My team are still trying to acquire the right properties. We had an offer last week rejected, particularly on just thinking whether to put in a second bid. It was quite cheeky, though, I would admit. But if you don't ask, you don't get. If you don't ask the question, you never get the answer. So we are looking to obviously to go into purchasing now, and also extend the rent-to-rent business at the same time.
Cool. And in terms of how you're developing your business, because I know for a fact that you are just starting to outsource and systemize and leverage a VA. So how's that whole process been?
That has been like a godsend, honestly. The admin stuff is not my strongest point. So sorting out sort of emails and getting interest off of various platforms for your properties, replying back to them can be quite tedious and quite time consuming, which I mean I've done it for almost a year now, replying back to people, and it takes up quite a lot of my time personally, and it's like I said, it's not something I enjoy doing, like sitting behind a computer typing away with it. So I understand how to do it now. I've done it for a whole year, but I managed to outsource that to a virtual assistant that we know about, who does all of that for us, saves me a heck of a lot of time. I actually think she's a lot better than me at doing it, to be quite honest with you. She's more organized. And it just she schedules all the viewings. She screens the people to let us know, you know, if they fit our criteria, if we fit their criteria. She has a conversation with them before sort of it even reaches my desk and say, yeah, this person would like a viewing for this particular property on this day, that day, at this particular time slot. So it's been, honestly, it's been a godsend to manage our time a lot better.
Cool. And I certainly know that feeling. For anyone who knows me, I've got an amazing young lady that works with Courtney. So shout out to Courtney. I think she's the inspiration for all of us who go and outsource. So before we wrap up, three quick rapid fire questions for you. So favourite meal?
Favorite meal, jollof, which is an African dish, Ghanaian dish, jollof with plantain and fish, tilapia fish.
Cool. I've never had that. I might have a go at that.
Something different for you.
Sorry?
Something different for you there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a big fish eater, but I will try something at least once. So next one, favorite book.
I have to say one. I've got a couple. One would be The Seasons of Life by Jim Rohn, and also Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Good choice.
Those two really, I'm a big person with self-development, and those two books really stood out for me.
Cool. And then final, favourite holiday destination?
I travel quite a lot, so I'd have to say Ghana.
Not Wandsworth then.
Definitely not Wandsworth, especially with the parking tickets they've been giving me recently.
But there's absolutely nothing from Wandsworth if anyone is watching or listening from Wandsworth. So cool. So let's wrap up. So what's one final bit of advice you would give Stefan? I know that you've been super successful in growing your business. But what's one bit of advice you would give someone who is maybe looking to diversify and get into property and think that HMO or rent to rent might be for them?
The first thing that comes to mind is just invest in yourself in terms of the knowledge before you get into anything. I think investing in yourself, having someone alongside you who's been there or to reach out to sort of guide you along that path is, I think, necessary. I mean, I'm sure there's people that have gone and done it themselves, but for me, the time it would take and the mistakes you'd make, you can't really buy that. You can't buy that. So being able to have someone there that you can speak to or read about it, or, I mean, like you said, YouTube's one of the greatest resources on earth for learning. Doing as much research as you can. I mean, it doesn't have to be a financial investment. It can be a time investment based on watching videos on the subject or reading about it. I would do a lot of that before anyone jumps into it.
Or maybe even listen to a podcast about it.
Oh, we'll listen to a podcast. I left you to give us that one.
Give ourselves a little plug there. Cool. Well, look, Stefan, I know you are a super busy man. We're actually recording this at 8:30 at night because that's how busy Stefan is. So I just want to say thank you very much for giving us some time, and I really appreciate that. And for everyone who is watching and listening, we really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to listen to the HMO Experience Property Podcast. Please leave some comments below. Let us know what you thought about this episode. If you've got any questions for Stefan, and again, please drop them down and we'll forward on to him, and maybe he'll be gracious enough to give us some time to respond to those questions. But for now, that is another episode. This is episode 44. To be honest with you, I'm not sure what's happening next week, but Matt will probably give us an update on social media. So check in with us on Facebook, on Instagram. Check out the website, which is www.thehmoexperience.co.uk. If you haven't subscribed and signed up, please subscribe and sign up. If you're watching YouTube, give us a subscribe and a like. Below, what are they called? Smash the like button. That'd be kind of cool. And until next week, we'll leave you and say have a wonderful week ahead. And whatever you're doing, we wish you tons of success. So say goodbye to everyone, Stefan.
Thank you guys for your time. Really appreciate it.
And until next week, we'll see you soon.
Bye for now.